been my friend over the years. For some strange reason, he's always had the weakness of feeling he needed somebody to lift his prestige. In his paper, he's always having his picture taken with some great somebody, whether Pentecostal or what. And I thought when I got it, I said, well, I don't need to have my picture made with anybody. I've already had mine made with the greatest. And nobody else can help my prestige but him. And I thought, I said, I wish I could get a photographer to fix a picture with me and Jesus, or Jesus and me. And I sent it to him, tell him I've been noticing your paper. You have a lot of great men. You get your pictures taken with them. And of course, I know what's behind it, see. There is a man who can take the picture with a great man that don't. They're not thinking about that. But to him, for some strange reason, and I don't know why, he's always been an outstanding feller. He's got a powerful personality and so forth, but he's got a weakness of feeling in fear some way or another. But if I had a picture of myself, Jesus and I, well, I just send it to him and say, this happened in the spirit world. This is a photographer or a fix-up. But when I repented of my sins and got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, I have a picture taken with Jesus. And we're so close now that he's in me and I'm in him. And really, it's just one picture. Praise God. And I don't need anybody else to help my prestige. He's taking care of it. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. When I say that, I'm saying I'm the Son of Jesus. Now, if I said that to a Trinitarian, they'd think I'm putting myself as Jesus Christ. But you see, since they're one, I'm a Son of Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love has he bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. That wasn't my fix-up. But if you have the Holy Ghost, there's not a single person on earth that could elevate your prestige anymore. Running with the president wouldn't do it. Having a string of DDs and what have you wouldn't do it. Just in the Bible, they said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, that's the thing that really makes up for everything. And all of my life, I have had that feeling that I'm a son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't need anybody to help me. He's my helper. Praise God, along that line. We need help in other ways. But I don't know, some people have always has that inferior feeling. They're always struggling. But I tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost and you're full of it, forget it. Praise God. Don't worry about it. And I have a message on my heart today. I've been thinking about it for days, been studying. And I want to turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, and start reading at the 24th verse. And we want to welcome all the visitors today. So glad you're here. But we're going to study today. We're going to have a Bible lesson. And I might say this, that we're very happy that we're soon going to have our speaker system all set up and upstairs. And Brother Perry is working on it. He's got help. And we're so glad that we believe we're going to have all the bugs out of our speaker system and everything working like it ought to work. All right, let's read today. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part unto the heaven shineth, unto the other part unto the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, they bought, and they sold and planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now it's going to really happen fast. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And the text today will be seven startling parallels between the days of Sodom and today. Seven startling parallels between the days of Sodom and today. Now look at this verse again. As it was in the days of Lot. Now he's telling us that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. And we need today to find out how it was in the days of Lot. And there's far more behind this story in studying the 18th and 19th chapter of the book of Genesis than we find right here in these words. Now the Bible said they did eat, and there's nothing wrong with eating if you don't eat too much. There's nothing wrong with drinking as long as it's milk and water and soda pop. They bought and they sold, and there's nothing wrong with buying and selling if it's done honestly. They planted, and sure, it's not wrong to plant a garden or plant a corn crop or wheat crop. They built. It's all right to build a home. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now the things we read here is all right if. But here's the problem. They became so busy eating and drinking, buying and selling, making money, they forgot God. And when we get so busy with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and we forget God, then all these other horrible, terrible sins will come in on us that we're going to study. You see, you can't get by with just being lukewarm and sort of happy-go-lucky. Some people think they can. They think about all there is to life is just being happy-go-lucky and having a good time and eating and drinking and things like that. But you can't stay there. Life is like a yo-yo. You're either going up or you're going down. And a lot of folks don't realize this. So most of the world is going down. And the end of the string is destruction. Now the Bible contains a vivid description of the destruction of the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And men today have discovered that it's a fact that there was such a city that is actually... it was destroyed with fire and brimstone. The evidence is everywhere today still there. And there's the salt sea. And this place where Sodom and Gomorrah once dwelt is the lowest place on earth. It's 1,300 feet below sea level. That gives us an idea of how God feels about the sins they were committing. He blasted that thing from heaven and sunk it. And it became a dead sea until this day. There's nothing but salt there. Now that's the way God feels about the perversion that was being committed there. If there's anything under God's heaven that God hates, it's this demon that's loose in the world today called homosexuality. It's raging in our land. And God hates it and left a permanent picture, a permanent landmark. He let everybody know how he feels about it by sinking it 1,300 feet below sea level and turning it into a salt sea and burning the cities up with fire and brimstone. That's the way God feels about it and still feels about it and has not changed his mind and never will. Now, this comparison reveals seven arresting parallels that will show a startling similarity between those times and the days in which we live. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. So we're living in the days of Lot, as it were. So there, this parallel one, there's no accident in the judgment of Sodom. This city and its inhabitants were destroyed because the men of Sodom, the Bible said here in Genesis 13:13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were wicked. They were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Therefore, you can see why that Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped off the face of the earth and burned, literally burned, with fire and brimstone and all of its inhabitants, because they were wicked sinners, exceedingly wicked. And God got enough of it. God looked down on it and he said, I've got enough of this. I'm going to make an example. I'm going to let the whole world know how I feel about this type of sin. And I'm going to leave it as a landmark as long as the world stands. So there it is. Now, here in Genesis 15:16, it's also mentioned, as with the Amorites, destruction came upon them when their iniquity was full. Every nation finally reaches the place when their iniquity is full. Every city will reach the place when their iniquity is full. And every individual will reach the place when their iniquity is full. And God's got all he wants and have no more. Now, nobody always gets by. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. So when God gets enough, there's no need to call the doctor. There's no need to call the psychiatrist. There's no need to call anybody. When God gets enough, he handles things on his own. He don't need anybody to help him. He don't need any armies. He don't need any navies. He don't need any devils. He don't need anybody. When God gets ready, he takes care of it himself. And so he got ready. Their iniquity was full. And I fear that our iniquity as a nation, America, is getting full. About to run over. Because there is, according to statistics, 17 million known homosexuals in America. And that means it could be 17 million more that isn't known. And another 17 million who are borderline. And another 17 million will be in it in the next 5 or 10 years. We are filling up to the brim. Now, God hates this. And the world itself sets the time of its own judgment. And every individual sets the date, the time for your judgment. Now, somebody said, I really had a time last Saturday night. I lived it up. I did everything in the book. And God didn't do nothing. No. You may get by with it a few more Saturday nights. But one day, your cup will fill up. And God will say, this is the last Saturday night. Because God's merciful and he waits. But he don't wait always. He takes care of everything finally. All right, let's look at it here. Parallel 1. Their iniquity was full. They were wicked. They were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Compare that with our nation that once soul had freedom, such as no nation has ever known, but we're selling our freedom. We're selling it fast, and pretty soon we won't have any. There's a lot of large radio stations now that you cannot go on at all unless you're a member of the World Council of Churches. That's right. And there's somebody awfully worried about having a lot of problems about whether we're going to go on television or not. Don't worry. The World Council of Churches is planning to take care of that soon. So I think a lot of folks is butting their head and making a lot of plans. And I said to somebody the other day, there's a whole lot of talk about how it would really turn a church upside down if they just go on television and advertise. Well, one minister told me he went to a certain city where they had been advertising his revival. He didn't know about it, that they was doing that, and this certain preacher believed in it, and so he was all set for a great big turnout. And he said a good number of visitors came, and so one night he was so anxious to see that his program was working until he had all the folks to stand that had been influenced to come to the revival through television. And one poor old retarded woman stood. Let me ask you, the first Pentecostal church was going to spend $10,000 advertising on television. I want to ask you which would be the most profitable. Get $5,000 worth of literature and hire about 4 or 5 people full time with the other $5,000 to do nothing but knock doors and invite people to church. I wonder which would be the most profitable. It's not hard to figure out. The Nazarene Church spent $500,000 to put on a 30-minute nationwide broadcast, and they were pressed by some of our preachers as to how many converts they actually got as a result. And one of the leaders in it told one of our preachers, as far as we know, only one. $500,000 could have beat that. A little ragged tent out in the rural community somewhere. Paying an evangelist a couple of $100 a week would have taken care of that. Well, I don't think it's going to be the great big thing, because I think when a fellow gets on television and starts preaching holiness, brother, it'll turn it off just like that. Whenever you get on there and preach old-time Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, one God tongue talking salvation, Brother, are they going to turn over to the rock and roll music? And their gods. Oh, I'm not going to spend no $10,000 on it. I hadn't made up my mind yet. All right, but as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and so shall it be when the Son of Man come and look at parallel two. Sodom's sin is expressed by Jude in the seventh verse of his letter. And it reads like this, that they gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Now this was the major sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, fornication and perversion, strange flesh, all the different translations. I put that down as homosexuality, perversion of all kinds, strange flesh. So it's very, very plain, parallel to, that it was fornication and perversion that brought about the destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah and caused God to burn them up. Women, children, men, everybody, burned to a cinder. And the thing about God, He never changes. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know, human beings have a tendency, if a thing is around them long enough, they get used to it and they don't think it's wrong anymore. But God isn't that way. The longer it's around, the madder He gets. And the longer it's around us, if we're not full of the Holy Ghost, the more we compromise. God, help us in Jesus' name to wake up. Parallel 3. When God first pronounced judgment against mankind and sent the flood to destroy the earth, He was careful to prove means of escape for righteous Noah. Notice that. Before God sent destruction and wiped the world, the antediluvian world off, He made a way of escape for His own. He didn't have many. He didn't have 8. But bless God, to God it was worth His time of coming down from heaven and giving Noah the blueprint on how to build the ark, and give him 120 years to build it and get ready just to save 8. Don't tell me the souls isn't important to Almighty God. I hear people say, well, we spent a lot of money in that last revival. We spent about $800 or $1,000 and only got 3 souls. Well, you and your money better jump in the river. You don't know what a soul's worth. It's worth it if we didn't win but one. The first Pentecostal church had a revival. It cost $5,000, and we won 1 soul. Heaven would shout about it. So here's a fellow working 120 years, and God working all the wonderful miracles of sending all the cattle and to prepare of everything, every animal and every fowl, sent them down there to get in the ark. Because He cared for 8 souls. He wasn't going to destroy them. He wasn't going to pour out His wrath. You see, that flood was God's wrath. That wasn't the devil's wrath. That was God's wrath. And the great tribulation is not the devil's wrath, it's God's wrath. And He's not going to pour it out on His bride. Now look here, 2 Peter 7-9. God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making them examples unto those that after should live ungodly and deliver just lot. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. Notice now, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes. Why? To make examples. To let everybody know in the New Testament that he hasn't changed his mind. Now, the Unitarians, I understand, and some of the other churches are having weddings. Two homosexuals want to get married. Two lesbians want to get married. Well, they perform the ceremony. You see, they feel like that their little church could tell God, now, God, you was a little old-fashioned back there, and, you know, we've outgrown all of that stuff, and we're modern today, and we've all been to college, and we've got our DDs, and we know just about as much as you do, maybe a little more. So we have decided we're going to change the situation. But God said, I want you to know, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example unto every homosexual, unto every Lisbon, and to every fornicator and adultery that I don't like it. And it'll always be. You just don't get by. You'll pay, and you'll pay dear for that kind of pleasure. All right. Let's look here, see Genesis 19:22. And also Jude here, 14 and 15. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Now you see, the Lord was going to rapture his church. And during the great tribulation, we will be with him at the marriage supper. But at the end of the tribulation, Jude says he's coming back with tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment. We're going to be up there and we're going to come back. Not down here, but we're going to be up there and come back to execute judgment. So that's why I believe the church will escape the great tribulation, because the tribulation is when God comes back to execute judgment, we're going to be with him. All right. Parallel 4. The fourth parallel is found in the agency of angels of God, both in saving Lot and wrecking destruction upon the two cities. The angels will fulfill a vital task in the drama, the end of the age. Firstly, protecting the Christians. And he shall send his angel, the Bible said, the sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:13. Secondly, in executing judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. All right. The angels are going to have a part. And I have never in all of my life been more conscious of the fact of angels working with us. The last few years, it seems that we have had a special visitation of angels. Angels have appeared to many ministers and saints, because the angels always come. Angels were walking in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah days before it was burned. They appeared to Lot. And they appeared also to bring judgment on those perverts that would have broke in on Lot and the angels. And smote them blind. So, I'm glad we got angels around to help us in this end time to reveal all these things now. The Bible said when he comes, we're going to be with him here. The Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not the rapture. This is the coming back after the rapture in flaming fire. And that's when the world's going to look up and see him. And they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on him and to hide him from his face. They're going to pray to die in camp. Because when they see him coming in flaming fire, they'll know this is it. Parallel number 5, God placed the full responsibility for our escape upon Lot. Once he had been warned and an opportunity given him, see Genesis 19 and 17. So with us. So it is with us. Solemn warnings had been given by the Son of God that if we are to escape, we better pray until we count it worthy. Luke 21, 36. Now, after the angels told Lot and his family, it was up to them. That now, hurry, get out. Because we can't destroy it until you get out. Now, I feel like the Lord is saying to the church, hurry up, church. There's a work to be done. I've got to destroy this thing, and I want you to hurry up. Because you're going to have to get out pretty soon. Thank God. Hallelujah. I don't want to hang around here. So every one of us has the message. Flee for your life. Prepare. Get ready. Jesus is coming. We have the same message. Sent to us, brought to us not only by angels, but by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, came to earth and warned us and told us. Now, when you see the things that happened in the days of Noah and Lot, you church folks better wake up, because time is just about over. Then we look at parallel 6. The people of Sodom and even his family ridiculed Lot when he told them of the approaching judgment. Perhaps they'll call him an old pessimist. Here we have the mayor of the town, and many think that Lot had become the mayor of the town. Here we have a fellow that should be thinking positively, with a good outlook, patting everybody on the back and say, it's all going to turn out all right, don't worry about it, everything's going to be lovely. But now, all of a sudden, he's down there talking different. He said, look, kids, I've had an angelic visitors. Couple of them spent the night with me. They're over there at my house now. And get ready to get out. And the Bible said they laughed at him. They didn't even as much as go with him to see if it is true. All they had done is they got on the donkey and went across town and went in there and met the angels. But they didn't believe it. They thought the daddy had a nightmare. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. And not one of them. Well, they're so deep in that. Well, perhaps they had just come in off of one of those nearly all night parties. Drunk. Doped up. So they have dope in? Oh, yeah, they always had dope. Dope and witchcraft always run hand in hand. It's not a new thing. The kids, they think it's brand new. Something brand new just blowed in the last 10 years. My Lord, how mercy they had it since the beginning of time. Because the devil knew where it is at. And he could always find some old lustful, dissatisfied somebody that he could talk to and tell him how to put it together. So they thought he was crazy. Paid no attention to him. Oh, Dad, we'll see you in a day or two and talk it over. Oh, my friend, there wasn't going to be no day or two, not in Sodom. The day had come. The hour had finally came. Well, this is what the Bible said about the last days here in 2 Peter 3 and 3. The Bible said, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You ever hear anybody talk like that? Well, we got fellows like that to say that today. Oh, don't worry about this. The end of the world is all this junk. That everything is like it's always been. Well, anybody's got a nickel's worth of brains left knows better than that. If things are not as they've always been. In my lifetime, the automobiles were just coming in. the airplanes were just coming in. And a lot of you remembers when they wasn't around. Some of you do. And we have sent man to the moon and back. And things are not like they've always been. Now, that may go over big and strong with some of the teenagers because they can't imagine a time when there was no automobiles. They can't imagine a time when there was no airplanes. Why, to them, it's always been. But there was a time, and we're living in a fast age. A fast age. Well, man is getting smarter and smarter, and he knows how to put men on the moon, but he don't know how. He can never come up with a plan to get a man loose from his sins. He can put men on the moon, but he has not even learned how to whip cancer. There's nobody that knows their inabilities like the medical profession. They don't let us know it. But they know they're a million miles. And they know that about 98% of all the folks who get well in their hospitals would have gotten well anyhow if they'd have stayed at home. And they got thousands of dollars out of it, and nature taking care of it. Of course, nowadays, there's a lot of folks who go to the hospital and never get back because of the powerful drugs. They're being killed by the tens of thousands every year. And it's not the MDs that fight divine healing as much as it is the DDs. The dumb DDs that fight divine healing. All right, that's parallel number 6. And then last, parallel 7. And in the light of these things, I want you to notice what happened to one of the members of Lot's family that left, that started, but they were given orders to not look back. Not look back. Now, what did looking back here mean? Looking back at the world. Looking back at sin. Looking back at the old way. I wonder how many around here is looking back. Well, the angels gave orders, don't look back. And they were well out of the city. She was far enough out of the city not to be burned up a fire and brimstone, but she couldn't resist looking back. The world had too big a hold on her. She thought of all the fine things back there she was leaving. She perhaps saw the wild party she'd been going to. And perhaps, of course, her children. There was a doubt in her heart. Maybe this is all just a bad dream. And so she decided, as she got further and further behind Lot, she decided, one little piece. But when she looked back, she froze. She turned to a pillar of salt. She died on the spot. Now, today, the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. Now, Revelation 3 is a bunch of Lot's wives, the lukewarmers. She was a lukewarmer. And the Laodicean church and Sister Lot typifies those who love the world. They don't have enough of the Holy Ghost to make them bold. They don't have enough of the Holy Ghost to make them pray. And they're going to miss the rapture. They're going to stay here during the great tribulation and die lost because they keep looking back. They keep wishing. Now, the world's always going to change. And it's always coming out with its flashy colors. There was a time that only the homosexuals would wear the psychedelic clothes, but now everybody's trying to wear them. But me, you don't see me with any of them on. And I don't even wear a colored shirt. Not because it's wrong, but because I'm stubborn. I'm determined that Hollywood and a bunch of those folks in Paris, France, will not tell me I've got to do something. That's the reason. But a lot of folks are slaves to us. They came out with sack dresses. They were pitiful. They were horrible. And I said, well, I won't have to worry about this. But brother, you have to worry about anything that's in style. They got them. But long some of my members had sack dresses. It's in style. Then the short ones came out, and I preached my head off. And I had them to tell me over and over, what do you think I'm going to do, wear them down to my ankles? I said, yes, it's style change. You'll wear them to your ankles. Sure enough, here they come. They wear them to ankles. Anything in the living world that's style, some people are slaves to it. Now, we got so used to the short ones until some folks preached against the long ones. But I never did. I just sort of think if all women wore them the rest of their life, there'd be a lot of less sin raging. But there's no need to tell them because they won't allow that. They're going to change it pretty soon. And now they're coming out with the clothes that'll do for either one. Well, you'll never have to preach against that, Brother Barnes. Oh, yes, I'm getting ready for it now. Well, we've got folks that'll be glad to wear something that'll go for, if her and her husband's the same size, well, they can both wear it. Maybe they'll make them stretch kind where it'll work either. Well, I'll tell you. I don't know what we're coming to. The end. I know we're coming to the end. Now, the Bible talks about some foolish virgins that never did keep any oil in their lamp, and they never did keep the lamp trimmed. And it talks about some wise virgins that kept their vessels full of oil and the lamp trimmed. Now, you old-timers don't know nothing about keeping a lamp trimmed. I mean, some you young folks. That's old-timers do. No coal oil lamp. The little wick goes up through there, it's about that wide, and about a quarter of an inch thick. And you run it up through there, and you put it soaks coal oil, and you light it. And if you don't keep it trimmed, it'll get lopsided, and it'll black the globe on this side or that side. Or else it'll get hard after a while, and it won't burn right. And it'll just smoke. And so they had lamps, and they kept their lamps trimmed so it would burn bright. You see, there's a lot of things we need to trim off. The world, false habit. Trim it off so our lamp will burn bright. Well, I see some Pentecostals, the globe smoke is black as your old hat. They never have trimmed the wick. And there's a few, I'm afraid, to keep a little spark now and then. Now, we used to, when we were back in the country, we'd run out of coal oil. And the wick wasn't long enough to reach the little dab of coal oil we had in the bottom. So we'd pour water in to push the coal oil to the top, where the wick would pull the oil off of the top. But brother, when it got the last drop of oil, it went out like lightning. And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks, they've been filling up with water. They only have a little bit of oil. And when it goes out, it'll go out instantly. We need to keep our vessels full of oil. That's the Holy Ghost. And the wick trimmed, where it'll burn bright. Now, closing. The Bible said in Luke 21, maybe we better just turn over there. This is something we need to think about today. The Bible said here in this verse 34, and take heed unto yourselves. This is talking to the church, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. What day? The day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The folks who are out eating, drinking with the world, never keeping oil in their vessel, never keeping the wick trimmed, it's going to come as a snare on them and catch them. Just like it did the foolish virgin, they came later knocking and said, oh Lord, we just sort of laid down on the job. We know our pastor was right now and telling us not to fool with the world and all that, and we'd like to come, we'd like to make it right, Lord. But he said, the door shut. You're out. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. That's always, that's not every time we have a revival. That's not every other day, that's every day. Pray always. That ye might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. Pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape the great tribulation. All those things is coming upon the world, and stand before the Son of God. Hallelujah. For he said, he will come as a thief in the night to catch away his very own. Brother Ramsey, come back. See, I want you to sing Amazing Grace. Parallels. When I look at all these things that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, I see them in the United States. And I feel like our cup is almost full. And judgment clouds are gathering. What we do for Jesus, we must do it quick. I want you to stand and sing an old song that we know by heart, Amazing Grace. The only thing's ever going to get us through the pearly gates.